Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Time now for The Take with James Strebel.
You ready for this?
I'm ready, yeah. All right. I'm always ready for a little Instagram.
Little Instagram, thought you might like that.
Who's that? B. Josie's. Oh, it's B. Baker. Who's B. Baker?
And Ethan Moore.
I'm used to scantily clad, not like business smart.
What a haymaker line. That's Q Slaz's girlfriend.
Is it really? Good for Q Slaz.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
ESPN Louisville is your radio home for Louisville City FC. The boys in purple are back in action Saturday. Lou City FC at FC Tulsa, 7:45 on ESPN 680, 105.7, 93.9 The Ville, and the ESPN Louisville app. And don't forget to catch Soccer City on Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. So that's after us, right? So a little Soccer City today, Mitch?
Little soccer. Yes, sir. All right, you'll see your boy Jason Entz here in a few.
Yeah, Jason Entz, Casey Whitfield, Lance McGarvey, and of course Jeff Greer. Can't leave Jeff Greer out.
I
didn't have to cheat like Blank. I just off the top of my head. I just knew it. I didn't have to look anything up.
A little shot at Blank again?
I had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. Blank. Also, Reds Fever. Catch it. They're actually the hottest team in baseball.
Did
you hear that? Mitch, did you know that? The Red Legs. Your Cincinnati Reds. Tonight, Reds at Padres, 8:10 p.m. here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Friday, Reds at Padres again, 9:40 p.m., same station. Sunday, Father's Day. Happy early Father's Day to you, Ethan.
Same to you, sir.
Reds at Padres, 3:40 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. All right. Keep the text rolling in, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. Mike, one big rig must be commencement big rig. I did the graduation commencement for our 8th grade class. I do it every year. I've settled down now. I feel like I'm not shooting off as fast. Those of you that don't know, I have a lap band. That's why I'm thinner than I used to be. I just had one boneless wing and like three wedges, and I'm full. It's kind of like going up my throat a little bit. It was like...
Save that
for the mixtape.
Sorry.
But you did the sports radio thing. You crushed the wing zone during the break.
I did. I had one bone
at you guys. Like, let's go. We're coming back. And you're stuffing wedges in your mouth.
Only three. And then, like I said, I had one boneless wing. And that's all I've had. And I'm feeling it. I don't feel good now. Maybe too much. But I didn't have lunch. That was my lunch. All right. We've got a state of the program for Louisville football. Here, and it's on The Athletic, and let me see who the author is real quick. I mean,
Max Olson.
Max Olson. It's very, very in-depth. I mean, they go through every single position for roster analysis. They talk about Scott Satterfield, kind of what went wrong in the 4-7 record second year. First year, 8-5, 4-7 second year. They didn't finish number 35 in the SP Plus with a top 15 offense. This is where they did finish. So were they that bad? You can easily point, this is what it says, to five games that swung on untimely turnovers. This team couldn't win close games like it did in 2019.
You mentioned the T words, turnovers. That's why Louisville went from 8-5 to 4-7. Mm-hmm. Turnovers they had, I think they were second worst in the FBS with a negative 12 turnover margin. That's going to do it. And yeah. I think what you just mentioned, what Max was saying, is in the first year that Louisville finished 8-5, those 50-50 ball games, those one possession games, Louisville won those.
Okay.
Whereas the script flipped this past season because of the turnovers, those one possession games, when Louisville's trailing by one in the fourth quarter, they all went the opposite way. So my line of thinking is I'm a big guy on numbers,
right?
Big guy on trends and law of averages. The law of averages say those kind of even out. It was feast in year one, famine in year two. I think it's going to equal out. Louisville has a slew, in my opinion, 50-50 games. They're going to have to protect the ball. Looks like they are. Another interesting nugget from the article. They've borrowed some plays from the New England Patriots.
Oh, little Bill Belichick in the bill. Okay.
So in terms of practicing and drills about ball security and then getting more strips and picks, because the defense has improved, but still they need a lot of work in generating more turnovers.
And something that bodes positively for Louisville, if you know, if you believe in your line of thinking and that things will even out and things will go back to normal, looking at their returning production, 99% passing yards, because that's obviously Malik Cunningham, he's coming back. Rushing yards, 63%, top returner Malik Cunningham there. Receiving yards is the only one that doesn't look good. Only 36% of the production is returning, but that's you lose Tutu Atwell, you lose Des Fitzpatrick, that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
O-line starts, 68%, tackles, 58%, tackles for loss, 54%, sacks, 64%, interceptions, 80%. So if you look at that, they've got a lot of returning positivity coming back. You have a lot of you have a lot of experience coming back. So what are you thinking? Because I haven't, you know, Andy and I kind of break it down. We're like 7-5 is like meh. It's whatever. It's okay. What's your line in the sand for Louisville football this season?
It'll be 7-5. I think Vegas set the over-under at 6.5. I would go over, fairly confidently, I might add. I do think that, you know, as mentioned in this article, again, the coach stat says he thinks the defense could be potentially top 25. If that's the case, then 7-5 would be the basement.
Okay.
And you're expecting even more wins than that. So we'll see. I like the fact that in the two position groups that Louisville lost the most production, running backs and wide receivers, those are where they're the most deep.
Okay.
So while they're inexperienced, you've had guys that have made plays over several games last year. They just didn't get as many reps. So I think, you know, the offense is going to look different, obviously, when you lose the amount of production that you did. I think it was the 2 years combined, it was like 5,700 yards, 44 touchdowns from if you count Hawkins as well in there. From all that production. But then if you have Malik returning, if you have the amount of experience and talent coming back in the offensive line and more depth, then that has to bode well for, you know, a solid offense. But then everybody, and I'm telling you, this is not just media-driven buzz. I mean, the buzz within the program is that the defense is going to surprise some people, and they are legitimately better.
Well, they were good last year. I mean, if I'm
second
a Louisville
half of the
fan,
season,
second
yes.
half of the season, yeah, it was a rocky start, but there were games they carried Louisville. I mean, when the offense was turning it over,
yeah,
they couldn't score. The defense did their part. It was very Kentucky-like in that aspect, where you had the offense just not be able to produce, not able to put up points, but the defense kept them in games.
Yeah.
Something that while we're talking about Louisville football, then
hell yes,
I'm trying to be even keeled here. I'm trying not to go overboard. So
if you listen, you got some
all right
snippy to say. That's fine.
It's not snippy. It's a there's if you're on the outside looking in as I am, there's a lot of negativity around the program right now. Am I not right about that? Or am I look? You had
it's somewhere in the middle. I think it's been generated, like the Luke McCaffrey stuff, dude. That's on him. You're here 4 days.
Yeah,
you start getting the shakes because you see Malik Cunningham. It's like, bro, what did you expect?
Okay,
That's not an indictment on the program at all. It's not an indictment on Sat. Coach Cooper leaving for Georgia after 4 months. That's on him, dude. I mean, the timing was terrible. Absolutely terrible. It's a huge loss. You can't spin that,
sure,
in my opinion. But then, like, he wasn't here long enough to really ascertain how much he could have done for the program. Now, the early returns were good,
sure,
and positive, but again, I don't think that that reflects negatively on Satterfield. I had a source tell me that Louisville tried to match what Georgia was paying him. They did all they could, but at the end of the day, it's Georgia.
It's Georgia.
And it's home for him.
Right.
And while the timing was horrible, and, you know, from the outside, it could look bad, like, what's going on with Satterfield and all this other program? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really kind of delve into that situation with Cooper, yeah, the timing's terrible. But overall, it's like he's here for 4 months.
What about okay? So the way I look at it is the Coach Cooper stuff. You can we can talk about that. McCaffrey stuff, I don't put that on Louisville at all. I think there's a narrative, though, that Satterfield's having trouble getting quarterbacks. I don't think you can ignore that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had trouble getting quarterbacks and getting good quarterbacks. I mean, Malik Cunningham was a Bobby guy. Evan Conley is a backup. That's what he is. He's a backup. I don't think anyone can expect him to start. Shy Wirtz, he's the quarterback that they're trying to transition to wide receiver.
I think just in emergency situations, maybe special offensive packages. But no, I mean, right now
he's a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's going to be in the slot. They're going to use him maybe in some wild card things. But there's no doubt about that. That Louisville has to get, in my opinion, like a 4-star guy from high school. But it's going to depend on what Cunningham does, because he has 2 years left.
He does. And I thought, because it feels like he's been around forever.
Yeah.
I mistakenly thought that this was it. This was his senior year, and it's not. This is his junior year, and he can have next year. You know, if he performs well, then maybe you can have the draft discussion, but no real person's having that discussion right now in regards to him. But if you look at the timeline of events starting from at the end of the season, so Louisville goes 4-7. Then you had the South Carolina debacle. There's nothing else you can call it other than a debacle. Dwayne Ledford jumps shit to the Falcons. Understand. He's going to the Falcons NFL. Ponce goes to App State. We still don't know how much money he's making. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Offensive
coordinator. But, I mean, is App State really paying him more than Louisville was at the position? I don't
Fair
know.
Question.
We,
Fair question.
We don't know. So you had the Ponce stuff happen. You had Shedeur Sanders turn Louisville down for, you know, understandably so. His dad's coaching, so he goes to his dad, Deion Sanders. Then you had the McCaffrey stuff. Then you had the Fickle on the the Fickle. They spelled official wrong on the literature or whatever.
They had that.
Coach Coop. So he had all this stuff happen. I mean, there's not really a lot of – and then, you know, also along with that, I know you're like hearing this, but Kentucky's like killing it on the recruiting trail right now. Killing it. They had the number 11 class in the country. And that's not going to last. They'll probably average out to probably mid-20s, I would say, is probably where they're going to end up. Mm-hmm. But when you have your rival busting ass on the recruiting trail, getting 4-star guys 2 weekends in a row, It just feels like there's a cloud. Do you feel that way as Louisville fans, or am I being just verbose and just ridiculous with this?
I wouldn't say you're being ridiculous, but I think you are. You're putting more emphasis on the negative than there really is.
Okay, but what are the positives? Then throw it back at me. What are some of the positives going on in Louisville football that fans can look at and say, yeah, I'm excited about that?
Well, I can say that, you know, the offseason started off on a sour note.
Sure.
How he handled the South Carolina situation, I'm not going to defend that, because that was awful.
Right.
He did make the apology, and we'll see. I believe it's heartfelt. As a fan, I accepted an apology. He didn't have to do that, but he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he should have, quite honestly, after how he handled
especially
the South Carolina.
Especially as sensitive Louisville fans are, and rightfully so.
Absolutely.
I'm not, with you know, Charlie Strong and John L. Smith and Bob Petrino, you know, the first time around. I mean,
the grass
is
never
that.
Greener.
Right.
If you're a head coach,
it hasn't been. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now let's fast forward on to the last couple of months. And yes, with the team up the road being highly successful on the recruiting trail, Louisville only has two commits. But the first commit, Popeye Williams, I'm sorry, that he was the second in the class, is now moved up the 4-star.
The 4-star guy, yeah.
And Caleb Johnson, the quarterback out of Alabama, a mid 3-star prospect. Those are two good guys. Well, based on what we've heard, there's about 12 scholarships available, so they have 10 more. We've all heard that they have to be selective. I like who this staff is bringing in for the past two recruiting weekends. I'm not saying you're going to get all of them.
Right.
But you know, there's several 4-star guys here. Grab a couple of those, and then we'll have to reassess. So my thing is, Strebel, is while it was negative at first, I think there's been some more positive momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cooper thing, the timing was awful. And the official misspelling, that was bad. You can't, you know, you can't explain that away. But I didn't feel the need with the LSL side to, like, compound and just, like, you know, keep bringing it up. Because listen,
sure, I understand. Yeah.
And then, too, at the end of the day for me, and this is where I am with the football program, just win. Recruiting, at the end of the day, whether it be December or the signing period in February, let's see who we have. You have told us that you have to be selective. This is a very small recruiting class.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who you bring in. Let's see this year. You finish 7-5 or 8-4. Okay. All right. So now.
So be it.
Now, if you don't, then it's an entirely different discussion. But I think right now the momentum is there. I love the fact that Louisville has depth areas of need. The secondary is a lot stronger. The linebacking core is a lot stronger. Defensive line, for me, it has a lot of question marks, but they're still building depth there. The offensive line, who at times were a bunch of turnstiles.
Right.
They return a bunch of talent, and they have added depth, the four-star transfer from Virginia Tech being one of them. So while there's still questions with the program, and while the offseason started off on a negative note, I still think there has been more positive momentum. Now, was that thwarted some last weekend? Absolutely it was. It was. But I like who they have coming in to visit the month of June. Mm-hmm. You snag a couple of commitments over the next few weeks, then that all goes away. And there's still the excitement that every fan base has in the offseason. But for me, I'm going to practice a little bit that I'm not as a fan. I don't have a lot of. And that's some patience.
Patience, now, right.
If we're having this discussion in October and Louisville has a losing record.
That's the question.
My tone will certainly be a lot different. But I don't see, when I look at Louisville's roster, look at the schedule, I see a fairly successful season.
Well, that's the positive thing with both Louisville and Kentucky. I think Kentucky had the second most favorable conference record in the East, only behind Missouri. It's like Missouri's number one, Kentucky's number two as far as favorable schedules. Louisville starts off rough. I mean, you start off with Ole Miss, then you get, you know, the gimme game. I think it was EKU week two. Then week three, you got UCF, and we don't know. I mean, yeah, they've been good in the past. I have no idea about UCF right now.
Vegas has UCF as the 6-point favorite.
That's a Friday night game too, right? Then it's at Louisville.
It's gonna be lit.
It's gonna be a good game. But after that, I mean, outside of playing what Clemson, their ACC schedule is nothing to be worried about. They got Duke on that schedule, they got Syracuse on that schedule, and they've got some real bums on that schedule. They can, like you said, count as wins. It's gonna be those 50-50 flip games. It's not, but also they got a gift of a schedule last year too. I mean, that schedule last year, you know, outside of what, Notre Dame?
Miami
was, you know, they were pretty good. They weren't like Miami, but they were good enough. I mean, they made a bowl, but you had Miami, you had Georgia Tech, you had Virginia Tech, who Kentucky, you know, I mean, Kentucky in the previous year beat in a bowl game. They had a guy that couldn't throw a football on the team. They had a gift of a schedule last year, and they fell on their face with it. What gives you confidence that it's not going to happen? Is it the returning productivity that I'm looking at right now? And is it just your faith that, hey, Scott Satterfield can coach football? We just haven't seen it yet.
For me, I'm not going to be one of those fans and saying, well, it was the COVID season, you got to write it off.
No. Everybody had the damn exactly. COVID season. I don't exactly. want to hear that. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you.
And while that's not an excuse, I still think you have to factor in it was a weird season. That game that they lost to Virginia Tech at home by a touchdown, they had 9 starters on the defensive side.
Right, yeah.
So overall, it's just one of those things. And I said this for Louisville basketball in year 4 for Coach Mack. These are show me years. You got to show me something, and I don't want to scrape by at 6-6. I want to see market improvement on both sides of the ball. I think you will see that. But again, I've just seen a lot of stuff right now where I don't have a lot of reason to go in with a negative attitude first because of the roster as it stands. Now, again, if the recruiting class doesn't materialize like a lot of the fans think it will,
yeah,
okay, then we can revisit that conversation. If with this schedule they drop the 50-50 games, you know, they got at Florida State, Boston College at home,
right,
Virginia, those are games right now, and teams that they're not going to knock your socks off in terms of college football, but those are
important games.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when you have, and you look at Louisville's tough non-conference schedule, I mean, you have Ole Miss, Kentucky, and then you have UCF.
It's pretty damn tough.
And, you know, as much as it pains me to say that for the last game of the season.
Right.
But there are pieces in place, both roster and schedule-wise, for Louisville to get 7 wins. Now, if they get 7 wins, I would be content. I'm not saying happy, but I would be content. Now, year 4 is where you're saying, all right,
no,
you're back to
now
where
we gotta...
Yeah, let's ratchet it up. We're now 8-9 wins going forward is the expectation. So I like where Louisville is right now in this offseason. I like the depth that they have at the aforementioned positions. And, you know, I think Satterfield's body of work has shown that he is a good coach and a successful coach. Last year was a terrible year.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the field and off. But now I've turned the page. I'm ready to focus on them playing better. And, again, I'm not going to get all bent out of shape whatever happens at Ole Miss. They're going to run into an offensive juggernaut.
Yeah.
Can Louisville's defense keep them in check? I don't know. Right. I'm not overly confident that they can. But can Louisville's offense also score with them? If Louisville loses to Ole Miss and it's competitive, okay.
Right.
They're an 8-point dog right now as it stands. Now, you get smacked by 3 touchdowns. I'm not going to be happy about it, but there's 11 more games on the schedule. Let's see where things go.
I think for Louisville and Kentucky both, and then we're going to have some fun here in a minute because Mitch has got some things to get off his chest.
Being too civil right
are in the
now,
same
like.
In the same boat are is this. They're going to know early in the season with both teams. Kentucky has a gimme game in the first game of the season. Next game, SEC Missouri, who beat them last year, and most analysts have them picked ahead of Kentucky in the East. A game last year where people felt like they should have won that game. I'm one of those. That was the worst loss of the season, that Missouri game. Louisville has UCF. That third game of the season is going to be a big deal to see. Okay, you go from 1-1. Are you 2-1, or are you 1-2? So both fan bases are in similar positions early in the season. I feel like we're going to know kind of where our football teams are. All right, Mitch. 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. Mitch, you got Donnie last night.
Yes.
Oh, how about, boy.
How about we do this?
Oh,
how about
boy.
We tease my take on Donovan Mitchell?
Okay.
Let's take a break. Let's get our guy Travis Branham on, talk a little college basketball
Let's
recruiting. And then we'll take a Westwood update, and then I can crush Donovan Mitchell.
All right. Crushing Donovan Mitchell after
Ice
Travis
cold
Branham.
Takes, I have a feeling. Freezing cold takes.
After Travis Branham and golf, Mitch is going to crush Donnie next.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Time now for The Take with James Strebel.
No, good, happy for them, good for them. I mean, I'm sure it makes a lot of Louisville fans sad that Haley Van Lith is going with a Gonzaga player and not a Louisville player.
And Ethan Moore.
Why can't she date a Louisville player?
I didn't even think
What's
about
not
it.
Good? You said they're not good enough for her? Hey, Steve. Why can't she date a Louisville player,
it's
Steve?
Also on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
ESPN Louisville is your home for the NBA playoffs, including the NBA Finals. Our next broadcast is, well, the schedule changes. So tonight we have Nets at Bucks, 8 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville, live play-by-play of the NBA playoffs. ESPN Louisville is presented by Bear Nose Pizza, UPS Jobs, and U of L Health. Miss any of your favorite ESPN Louisville shows? Check out the Podcast Center over at ESPNLouisville.com, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, subscribe, and review. Where do you get your podcasts, Ethan? I'm a big podcast guy. I love podcasts.
I get mine from ESPN Louisville.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Honestly, I don't listen to a lot of them.
Really, you don't?
Yeah, I like to listen to sports talk in the car.
Sure.
Your guys, Mark, Luke, everybody, Drew in the mornings. And if there's like an interview that I missed, I'll go back and listen to it.
But sure.
But I don't listen to music on my phone. I don't know, man. It's just
really
old school. Yeah,
are old school. You still get a pay. For those of you who don't know, Ethan Moore still gets a physical paper in the mornings. And you don't listen to music on your phone or podcast or anything? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And we're like the same age.
Yeah.
You and I are.
Well, I tell you what, I will stream some music on my phone and put it on my Bluetooth in my car.
Okay. Well, okay,
but,
there
but
you go.
But that
right.
extent, like if I go to the gym and work out, I don't listen to music while I do that. I just don't.
You don't? No. See, back in the day when I used to work out, I don't really work out anymore. Obviously, you know, I had to get surgery to not be fat. Instead of working out, I took that way. That was my journey and it worked for me. But I love listening to podcasts. And I love taking my little Bluetooth speaker on the deck with me, turning that on, boom, feeling good, streaming music that way. And then I love podcasts. I figured that I could see you as like a murder mystery kind of guy. like real crime podcasts. I think you get really into that. You see, I don't know why, but I get that vibe for you that real crime is, you don't like that. Like, I mean, serial killers and stuff.
I'll watch 48 Hours every now and then.
Okay.
And I did watch the one, The Night Stalker on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, that was messed up. But oh, my gosh.
It's not like appointment viewing for me.
Okay, so okay, gotcha. Little... Fair enough. All right, Mitch is going to work on getting Travis Branham on the phone. He's doing that right now. I got Travis Branham. We're going to talk to him momentarily. 247 National Basketball Analyst. We got a lot of questions for him as far as Louisville and Kentucky basketball recruiting goes. And then after that, we're going to hit a little golf update and play some sound before we get both a chance. So we got a jam-packed hour and a half to go here on The Take, ESPN 680 1057. Now, as Mitch is talking to Travis Branham on the phone right now, I know I have some questions and you have some Louisville recruiting questions as well. So people out there listening along, you're going to get both Kentucky and Louisville in on this. Well, Mitch is getting them on. 437-9680. Some texts coming in. Does Strebel believe that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself? No, I do not. Texter says, Strebel, if you think all those commits signed with UK, I got some oceanfront property for you in Louisville. I didn't say they'd all sign, and I told you that it wasn't going to be a top 11 class. It's going to be like a top, 25-ish, 30-ish class. All right, enough about that. Let's get our guy Travis Branham in here, the 247 National Basketball Analyst, at Travis Branham _, if you want to follow him on Twitter. He's got all the scoop about recruiting. We've got some questions for our guy Travis about Kentucky and Louisville. Travis, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Travis. All right, for Kentucky fans, the big one right now, obviously, Jalen Duren, the news dropping last week that the number one prospect or number two prospect, whatever you want to see, depending on what service you look at, in the class of 2022 is now going to reclassify to 2021. Kentucky is a place that he'll visit, I believe, next week or the week after. He also plans to visit Memphis, Miami, and of course the G League is in play as with these top elite recruits. That's their target area. Their sweet spot seems to be that top five, top 10 area. Is it too much to ask Kentucky fans to maybe not buy into Jalen Duren at all, or what percentage do you give him that he goes to college? Because Adam Zagoria, when he first released the information, Travis, stated that he intends to go to college. If he goes to college, what kind of chances does Kentucky have? Do you believe he goes to college at all?
Well, first off, it's not official that he has reclassified yet. There's still a lot of things that a lot of hoops that he has to jump through to get to that point where he is actually officially the class of 2021. So it's still a process. It is not definitive as of yet. But to your point, yes. I think right now I believe that Jalen does want to go to college. All these things have kind of started to shift and be expected up to this point. It had been rumored that he was considering reclassifying, so that going public was not a surprise. But again, it's all kind of a work in progress. It's all very fluid. But yeah, college is the expectation as of right now. Obviously, the professional route, especially the G League, it's going to be making a hard push. He is such an elite talent, and like you said, he is the number one or number two prospect, and that's up to anybody, any individual's eyes at this point. He's continued to get better. He's just an elite talent in the 2022 class or all of high school basketball. And when it comes to Kentucky, handicapping this one is not easy. Kentucky is in there. However, I don't think they're the current leader. I think Miami does have a really good chance at getting Jalen Duren. They have added a member on staff that has a long history with Duren being a member of Team Final. It's a little hard right now. And again, it's fluid. There's a lot of things that will continue to play out from here on till the end of summer.
All right, Travis Branham joining us, 247 National Basketball Analyst. Now, when you say Miami, that might come as a little shock to people because you're talking about an elite guy. Miami has been kind of on a downslide with Jim Larrañaga the past few years, not really a team of consequence in the ACC. Does the NIL legislation that's going to be passed in Florida in July, on July 1st. Does that have anything to do with that? And then today, the University of Kentucky and John Calipari both released a statement saying that they're preparing for the NIL to take effect at Kentucky. So I don't know exactly what they can do because there's not much legislation. Actually, there's no legislation at all here in Kentucky. How much weight does the NIL legislation in Florida have with Jalen Duren?
I mean, I don't know how much weight it has, but it definitely doesn't hurt for any elite prospect to be able to go in and be able to make some money. It's definitely going to be an appeal. There's no doubt about it. That can only help you. It can't hurt you at all. And like you said, yeah, Kentucky has no state legislation when it comes to this right now. So right now, the program's kind of at the mercy of what the lawmakers kind of do. But yeah, it is kind of a surprise for a lot of people to hear Miami being, probably one of the top considerations right now.
Oh yeah, I thought it was Kentucky or G League to be. And I don't know. I don't know anything or anything. Obviously, you know, you're the expert here, and that's why we're having you on. And, you know, to tell us about these things. But yeah, hearing Miami was a shock to me because I was like, oh, it's gonna be Kentucky, the G League, Miami. Huh? Who cares about them? But no, they're making a push, and there's definitely something to that.
Yeah, for sure. And also, when it comes to a guy like Jalen Duren, like. Yeah, Miami is not in a spot where they're one of the top teams in the ACC or even in the country. So while that comes as a surprise, you add a guy like Jalen Duren, you're going to be near the top. Like, he's going to impact winning at a very high level, at a collegiate level. He's just an absolute force in the paint. He's dominant, does it on both ends of the court. His defense is just drastically improved. It's not even really that it's improved. It's just his mentality on that end has really improved, and he's just really ramped his game up on all facets. So I don't know how much of an impact that'll play. But, yeah, definitely Miami's involved in that. I mean, it's got the rest of the final 11. I mean, you can go from Villanova, Michigan, Auburn, Alabama, Penn State, Memphis, UCLA. Everybody's going to keep vying for them. But, yeah, Kentucky's definitely involved. They're far from ruled out at this point. Obviously, they got that official visit coming in. And, again, it's fluid. Things can change, and we'll see if things begin shuffling out here in a couple of weeks.
Travis Brandon from 247 Sports is joining us right now. Travis, what is it about this new generation of players that doesn't fall for the Duke and the Kentucky and the Kansas and a North Carolina mystique? What is it about places like Miami? And I know Gonzaga is a bigger player now, obviously, with Chet Holmgren and Hunter Salas and Jalen Suggs, guys like that caliber committing. What is it about this new crop of recruits? And this has been going on for, what do you say, like 3 or 4 years, where they're kind of shunning the blue bloods and trying to carve their own paths in non-traditional powers.
Yeah, no question about it. This has definitely been a trend for the past 5 years. I do think, however, that the NIL being passed is going to help level this playing field a little bit. It's going to shift things back to where it used to be a little bit more. Because, again, you go to a Kentucky, that market for a kid with a big name, the market for them is going to be massive.
Right.
It's going to be similar almost to the NBA in those regards, where you're going to see these big markets, but they're, instead of it going to be like the huge cities, you're going to see it the big college towns like Lexington, Kentucky, where the fan base is just insane, and they're going to follow and support these players, not only just in college, but all the way throughout their college careers.
All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to ask, with the hiring of Chin Coleman and Orlando Antigua, do you expect Kentucky to bounce back to that premier recruiting school that we've seen? I know Kentucky and Duke kind of battled out for 1 and 2. You know, nothing against Joel Justice or Tony Barbee, but they didn't have that big time clout that Orlando Antigua has. Do you think that Kentucky sooner rather than later gets back to that? And their recruiting class were nothing to sneeze at in the first place, even with Justice and Barbee. But Kentucky fans are extremely excited about Coleman and Antigua.
No question. I mean, people also forget last year's class was the number one recruiting class in the country. It just happened to be a COVID year, and there's a lot of things at play, and it just obviously didn't pan out.
Right.
No question about that. But, yes, Orlando and Chin going to be very successful on the recruiting trail. They both have the personalities. They both have the connections. I'm very confident in what they're going to do at Kentucky and continue to get involved with these elite talents. You got, obviously, during the campus, you also have Chris Livingston coming to campus.
Yeah, right.
So those are two elite prospects already in 22. But back to your original question on just kind of the trend and how all this is changing. Yeah, this has been going on for about 5 years, and I think a big part of it is kids don't aren't necessarily as attracted to the big names as they are to relationships. Hmm. At this point, it's all coming down to relationships. And I think that's one reason why you're going to start seeing, like, Texas, the University of Texas with Chris Beard and the staff that he's brought in, like, that's going to be a serious contender with these elite prospects here in the coming years, because these guys, it's a very strong, heavy relationship staff. They just have strong relationships throughout the grassroots industry. They know how to build a relationship with the prospects. And so that's where it's become more so for the new trend. Is it's not so much the brand names of schools, but more so the relationships that these coaches kind of bring in. And like you've seen it with Cade Cunningham, like,
right,
he goes to Oklahoma State because of his brother. You saw it with Michael Porter, he goes to Missouri because of his father. So this is just kind of the trend that's been, and I do think with this NIL, like I said, it's going to start going back. There's going to be a bit more of a balance.
Last Kentucky one for me, and then I'm going to get my guy Ethan Moore here for Travis Branham, 247 basketball analyst. Ethan Moore's going to ask you some Louisville questions. Just last one for me on the recruiting stuff. DJ Wagner is another elite prospect that Kentucky's really going after. Obviously, that relationship between John Calipari and his father, is he looking G League bound as well? And how much chance does Kentucky have to land that guy?
I think it's too early to tell, but yes, I do think it's going to ultimately come down to Kentucky and the G League. And I think that's kind of the expectation throughout the entire recruiting industry. Yeah, Coach Cal obviously coached his father, DeJuan Wagner Sr., elite player, star at Memphis. So I think obviously that relationship, that ties, is going to play into Kentucky's favor, and it's going to come down to Kentucky and the G League, I think, at the end of the day.
Travis, to the Louisville side of things now, Coach Mack offered a slew of 2023 prospects, has even had a couple of unofficial visitors coming to campus over the last couple of weeks, namely Caleb Glenn and Reed Shepherd. Give me the backstory of Glenn and Shepherd. And right now, I know it's really early to handicap. Your thoughts on Glenn possibly committing to Louisville at some point, and then how you feel about Reed Shepherd being a kid out in the state of Kentucky. UK has not offered yet, but Louisville already has. Is this a scenario for Shepherd that you feel like Calipari is just going to wait, and if he misses on his other targets, he'll offer him and he'll go to UK? Or do you feel that Reed is a kid that, you know, wants to go where he's truly wanted first?
Yeah, starting with Caleb Glenn, obviously a talented prospect that we have ranked in our top 75 based out of Louisville. He goes to Louisville Male High School. Just a great athlete. You see him in person, and even as a rising sophomore last summer, I remember seeing him. I mean, he looked like he was a senior just physically. He was just so physically built, strong. I want to say, I could be getting this wrong, but I think his father was a football player at Louisville.
Correct.
Yeah, so he just has the genetics, great athlete, great body, plays with the motor, very good versatile defender and rebounder when he's locked in and really going. His half court still set, still coming along, but he's a very good talent, and he kind of reminds me a little bit of a former Louisville player, Dwayne Sutton. I think that's a good comparison and what he could become, and just that versatile defender, that tough, gritty guy that will get up and down and transition, and then that half court skill set, and give it a couple years, like, you'll start seeing him make more shots and score the basketball off the bounce a little bit more. And handicapping where I think his recruitment stands, I do think Louisville stands in a very, very good place. And I think that they are the heavy favorite, being the hometown team. I believe Caleb grew up a bit of a Louisville fan. So, and also they've prioritized him early. He landed that offer on Tuesday, and he's also already taken an unofficial visit. So the interest both ways is very mutual. I think Louisville stands in a great spot with him. As far as Reed Shepherd, obviously the son of Jeff Shepherd, great player, really, really good player, just very smart, skilled. I think a lot of people saw him posting up the offensive scoring numbers. And while, yes, he can score the basketball, I think actually his biggest strength lies in his passing ability. Kid just has great vision around the court, and then he just makes great decisions with the basketball. So he's a very talented player as well. And yes, Louisville has prioritized him early, just like they have Caleb Glenn, and they're trying to get out on the forefront with this recruitment with Reed. And if Kentucky doesn't really make a big move, if they start missing on some of these other 23 prospects and starts coming down a little bit later, and as they see Reed more and see how he continues to progress in his development, I do think there's a chance they get involved. And if they do, I think it's going to be wide open, whether if he goes to Kentucky or somewhere like Louisville or even a Virginia. I think those three programs will all be heavy contenders at the end of the day for Reed Sheppard. And whoever gets him, they're getting a really good player. I mean, it's maybe not the one-and-done NBA upside potential that people are used to at the University of Kentucky, but he's going to be a really good college player at the end of the day.
We're talking to Travis Branham, 247 Sports, national recruiting analyst here. Travis, a couple of questions about some 2022 guys for Louisville. Of course, they have one guy committed already. Tay Davis, brother of Dre Davis, a small forward prospect out of Indianapolis, a four-star kid, ranked 133rd overall. So I'm going to ask a question that a lot of Louisville fans have been asking. The next ratings bump, do you expect to have Tay Davis move up in the rankings? Why or why not?
To be honest with you, I don't know if he will move up. And if he does, I don't know if it will be much.
Okay.
I actually had the chance to see Tay maybe a little over a month ago up in Indianapolis, and he's still a good prospect. There's no doubt about it, but there's a lot of improvement that he has to kind of continue developing. His half court skill set still has to continue developing. I remember seeing him, I think it was when he was a freshman, maybe a rising sophomore. It's the first time I'd seen him, and his similar build, that 6'6", 6'7", wiry, good athlete, different than his brother, much different. His brother's much bigger, much stronger. They've just played a different style. And Tay, you could see him projecting better on the wing. Hmm. Obviously, Dre has also continued to improve his skill set. So, but where it stands now, I think he's hit a bit stagnant in his development right now. I'm not saying that he won't continue to get better because he still has plenty of upside. But right now, when it comes to the next rankings update, I don't know if he will get a bump.
All right, Travis Branham, 247 Sports, national basketball analyst, at Travis Branham _ on Twitter if you want to follow him. Travis, appreciate the time. Great stuff today. Good insight. And we'll catch up with you down the road. Stay safe, man. Yep.
Thanks, Travis.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Enjoy. All right, Travis Branham, have a good weekend and good recruiting stuff there. All right. And, man, I was getting a little nervous there. Mitch is whispering in our ear. We got to take a break because we have this golf update coming up, which we'll get to here momentarily. All right, good stuff here. Of course, the textures are crushing me as far as my questions are concerned. 15 statements and 11 questions now. 4 questions in for Strebel. Let's see here. There's more on here too. I mean, there's all kinds of these coming in. So, texter says 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. That is correct. If Cal wants Sheppard, then UofL doesn't have a shot. That's kind of how I feel with it. And you know, we can talk more about that later if we want. Okay. Oh, I'm good. Okay, we got another topic here. Got a little Reed Sheppard. We'll do that after the golf update. Play a little sound. Talk a little Reed Sheppard. And now we go back to golf.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
All right, we are back here on The Take, ESPN 680, 105.7. I'm James Strebel. I'm joined by Ethan Moore, Mitchell Hannigan. Have a lot to still get to today. We've got Rick Bozich coming up here at 5 o'clock. That was Travis Branham. During the golf update, Ethan was filling my ear with all kinds of stuff, and we're going to get into this with Reed Sheppard because, as a Kentucky fan, I understand why all the Kentucky fans, especially the ones outside of Jefferson County, I think it's more of an out in the state type thing. Here, I don't care about Reed Shepherd. Honestly, don't. I've not seen him play very much. What I've seen, I mean, what I know is, like, yeah, he scores a lot of points against Eastern Kentucky competition. I'm not very impressed with him. There's a reason why he's 65th in country. Now, if he improves and he gets better, then Cal's going to offer him. And that's just the way it's going to be. Where he is right now, and I'm not saying this is a slight to Louisville or Chris Mack, that's kind of been like Chris Mack's sweet spot. I mean, exactly where he is, 65th in the country. I think Chris Mack likes operating between like 40 and 100. That seems to be where he gets the majority of his players in that realm. He fits what Louisville wants to do. As far as Kentucky, he's not that high yet. But you were saying to me off the air, like, why would he go somewhere that may not want him as badly as Louisville or Virginia or someplace else?
Exactly. So this is where my take is with that. And I get the allure of Kentucky for kids that are out in the state. Not in the city of Louisville, but out in the state. And what I was saying to you is that, you know, it really just burns me up that these kids publicly, if they were to go to, let's just say this happened. So Louisville has made it known that they really want Reed Shepherd. They offer him the first day on the 15th that you could offer a kid that's a junior. And they've already had him in for an unofficial. And Kentucky hasn't offered him because they have people up on their list higher than him.
Yes.
Get that. My point is, why would a kid ultimately want to go to a school that didn't want him as much? And it's public knowledge that if you're not offered, they might want you or like you as a prospect, but they don't want you as much as a bunch of other schools did.
Sure.
And, you know, and that's what I don't understand. Like Bryce Hopkins, another kid. Like, he commits, he decommits from Louisville, commits to the Evil Empire. And then you have Damian Collins, I believe it was 6 days.
It was like the week after.
And yes. It was at the same position. So, you know, it's just like, well, that's what he gets. And so my hope is that if he doesn't go to Louisville, and if Kentucky strikes out on their other suitors, that if UK offers him late, he would be like, well, thanks, but no thanks, because, you know, you all didn't make me a priority.
Sure.
And they didn't want him as much as other schools did.
And I understand that thought process, absolutely, but the reality of the situation is this. Calipari's done this to Rick Pitino. He's done this to Chris Mack. He's done this to multiple guys. I mean, just off the top of my head, I named them the other day. I mean, you got Marcus Teague, Trey Lyles, we just mentioned Derek Willis, Devin Askew. That didn't work out, but, you know, Devin Askew, Bryce Hopkins. I mean, it's five right there, boom, 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 that Calipari said, you know what, I want you.
Yeah.
Come on down. I think out of all of those, I think the two, because Marcus Teague and Trey Lyles are like elite prospects. Devin Askew was looked at as an elite prospect. The two that I think
that was
probably
really a shame that he had a terrible season.
It wasn't a shame. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you guys really didn't like. You really hated to see that.
I hated the Carlick Jones Askew swap.
It actually didn't work out for anybody because nobody made the tournament.
But Louisville won at least double-digit games.
They did win at least double-digit games.
And Calipari did earn $1 million per win. So good for him.
He did, but I just – what did Curlick get you guys? What did he do?
Well,
what's his legacy?
He made it at least Louisville relevant enough to be a projected tournament team until the very end.
Sure.
If they didn't have Curlick –
Right. No,
you could have had a season like Kentucky did.
I'm absolutely with you, but Kentucky had an awful, god-awful season. Louisville wasn't that far behind Kentucky. I mean, if you look at it, they were dismal, especially in February, January, February, awful. March, awful. They lost to a terrible Duke team that didn't even make the tournament, just put their lights out. I mean, I understand what you're saying. They had a better season than Kentucky, but the end result was the same. They were both sitting at home watching the tournament. And Davion Mintz and Carlick Jones were the same dude, in my opinion. Same dude.
No.
They're the same dude.
No, I mean, he was the engine to Louisville.
So was Davion Mintz. Especially the end of the season, that was Cal's biggest mistake, was not putting the ball in his hands in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, moving Devin Askew out of the way. I'm not saying Kentucky would have went to the tournament. I'm not saying Kentucky would have had a winning record. But it would have been damn a lot closer than Devin Askew dribbling the basketball because it was awful. He couldn't do it. I'm saying that Davion, and he did have similar numbers to Carlick Jones. Very similar numbers to Carlick Jones. They weren't like, it wasn't like Carlick Jones was like in the stratosphere and Davion Mintz was in the dirt. I mean, they were very similar players, very similar stats. You get exact same results.
Well, I think if you look at it from one perspective, if they both did make the tournament, yes. But Kentucky had a historically bad year.
Oh, agreed. I that's what I said. Louisville had a better season than Kentucky did, but it's not that much to clap back at, is what I'm trying to say.
I don't know, man. You win single digits, and you finally get a beating from your rival.
Absolutely. Both were NIT beats.
And that's why, again, it was such a failure of a season on Louisville's part, because all you had to do was just make the tournament. It still would be disappointing if Louisville just made the tournament, lost in the first round.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
But it would have been better than no tournament at all.
Exactly.
Especially when you watch that selection show and you're like, oh, here we go. All right.
Well, they said Louisville had a shot at making it.
They did have a shot. You know, they did have a shot.
You guys weren't eligible for the CBI.
Sure. So,
you
know. Yeah. All right. 437-968 EPS jobs text line. Text rolling in on this discussion, obviously. We knew this was going to happen eventually. Yep. If he gets an offer from Kentucky, that means he is good enough for them to want getting to go there as a reward for being better than he is now. Talking about Reese Shepard here, obviously. When he's offered. Accepting the offer would be accepting his own improvement. Why would you not do that? Surely he can admit self-improvement and accept the payoff. Texter says, Big Rig has too many Busch Lights comparing the bum Mintz to Jones. Stop it. They both ended the season the exact same way. And again, look at their numbers. Look at their numbers. All right. Texter says, Good God, where's Andy when we need him? Andy is off today, so I'm sure he'll have a lot of things to say. Texter says, 437-9680. Round Daddy, your wife is a smoke show. Is she blind? No. No, she's not blind. Almost a compliment. Cal about to talk to Richie Farmer about getting Shepherd that bag. 437-9680. That's a funny text. That's a very, very funny text. More Reed Shepard coming in. People like to talk about Reed Shepard. I'm not particularly a fan, but people love this. Reed Shepard already plays for a high school team. Why would he continue to play for a high school team such as Louisville? There's a shot at Louisville. There you go.
Louisville didn't have 9 wins. Simple enough.
I love it. I absolutely love this. That's the dumbest thing you've ever said, Strebel. Carlick was up for ACC Player of the Year. He didn't make it. Mintz wasn't even the best player on his team. No, Isaiah Jackson was the best player on the team. I'm saying that Carlick Jones and Davion Mintz were very similar players as far as guards were concerned. They're very similar.
Well, see, I'll tell you this right now, though. Statistically, Carlick was on a different level. He averaged 17 points a game.
Okay.
Mintz 11.
Okay.
5 boards, Mintz 3.
Okay.
4.5 assists for Carlick, 3 for Mintz.
Okay. Fair enough.
39% from the field, Mintz shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlick was in the mid-40s.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I'll bend the knee to you, Ethan. All right, we got to take a break here on the other side. We've got our weekly chat with Rick Bozich from WDRB, and we'll talk to him about a slew of things. Maybe even Reed Shepard will work his way into it. You're listening to The Take, ESPN 680, 105.7.